Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you as always. In the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And all friend, listen, I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. The Word of God tells us He came to be yours in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now look, you may have started this day and hint at the making of this program this year, friend, lost. But thank God, listen, you don't have to go another day lost. You don't have to go through the entire year and end up lost, or maybe end up in an eternity in a place called hell. You can be saved. You can be saved by the grace of Almighty God. Listen, I've opened my Bible, the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to chapter 6. I'm going to read a couple of verses of Scripture out of there. Then I'm going to talk to you today about a very, very simple message. I think it's basic, it's fundamental. And oh, look, I don't care whether you're new in this walk for Christ. I don't care whether you're old. You've been there a long time. You've been on the way many, many years. It's still going to be a blessing, I'm sure, but not because I'm doing it, because the Word of God contains it and what the Spirit of God has spoken to my heart. But before I do that, Deb's going to do a song. One of my favorites, friend, the title of it is Get Ready, and it's talking about get ready for the trumpet. Jesus is coming soon, friend. I believe that's all in my heart. We're running out of time. It moves us to get ready. Are you? If you're not, you can be today. Enjoy the song. I'll be back in just a couple minutes when my beloved wife gets done with.
Get ready for the trumpet. Get ready for the sound. When Jesus calls us, we'll not be around. Now it could be tomorrow, but it could be today. So get ready for the trumpet.
Thank God, one of these days He's coming for those that are ready and looking for Him. That's His promise. That's His promise. Before He went away, He said, I'll come again. And thank God He's going to. He's going to. This could be the year. This could be the day. This could be the time that Jesus returns in the rapture to snatch. He comes for His own before He comes with His own. And bless God, I'll tell you, that's going to be a glorious day for those who know Christ as their Savior. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 46 and following down to the end of the chapter. And Luke says this. He says, And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose, the streams beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I want to talk to you a little while today about this thought, and this is what it is, this year's to-do list. Hey, everybody out there that loves to-do lists, raise your hand. I'll tell you, they're necessary sometimes. They're necessary to kind of help us, you know, follow a course and get things accomplished. And it's a good way to see that we have gotten things done. But a to-do list, we all know what that is. That is a list of things that we want to do, need to do, expect to get done. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. Listen, I believe for the believer. I believe this all in my heart, or else I wouldn't be preaching this today. I believe there is a biblical to-do list for us. I believe there are things that we ought to add for our to-do list for this year. Now look, this may be your best year. It may be your worst year. It may be your last year. And I know I'm speaking to myself too, so I'm paying attention. Thank God I'm paying attention. But I want you to know, friend, I want you to know there's some things as followers of Christ, or if you're not, and that's where I'm going to start, if you're not a follower of Christ, listen, that's the biggest to-do thing. I mean to tell you that, you need to do that above anything else. But look. Look, this passage comes out what is known as I can't even think of what it is. It is the Sermon on the Mount. There it is. You'll find it in a different form in the book of Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. What a great sermon that it is. It's one of the greatest discourses we have a record of Jesus giving in the Word of God. And it is the King talking to His subjects on that mountainside in Galilee, and He's lifting the law. He's lifting the law of His kingdom that will be on planet Earth not long off. I don't believe, I don't see how it could be. He's giving the law, the kingdom, to all of His subjects that are there. Now look, this new year, friend, gives us opportunities we've never had. I'm telling you, we can accomplish things. We can grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. We can become what we've never become but always wanted to. We can learn new things. We can live in a better way. Hey, we can do what we haven't done yet, but again, always wanted to, and may I add this little phrase, we've needed to. And with that in mind, friend, look, I want to address those people that are listening to this old country preacher today that are lost. Let's face it, sir. Let's face it, ma'am. What you've been doing isn't working out. I mean, it's already cost you too much. It's already left you too empty, too dry, too high. I'll tell you, listen, friend, you need to be saved. You know that. That's why you're listening to this preacher. That's why, listen, your heart stirred like that it is. That's why, look, you're looking for something that was satisfying. Can I tell you, it's not something, but it's someone, and His name is Jesus. He's God's only begotten Son. He's the virgin-born Son of Mary. He's the one who is the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, so the sons of men might become the sons of God. He's the one that was living among us sinless, who died substitutionally for us, who was buried in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day after His crucifixion, He was resurrected, came out from among the dead, never to die again. man. He rose for our justification. 40 days later, He ascended to the right hand of the Father. He's there making intercession for us. He's there, friend, willing to save anybody that'll call on Him. And if you're not saved, sir, ma'am, I'll tell you what. The greatest thing for you to do this year and to do it now is to die out to sin and become alive in Christ. It's to repent of your sin and trust Christ as your Savior. Hey, it's to believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead. So Romans said, thou shalt be saved, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For the backslider, I'll tell you, you know what you ought to do. You know what you ought to do. You know where you belong. You know what you've left. You know what you're missing, do you not? You may have not made it to the hog pen like the prodigal in Luke 15. You may have not lost everything that you had when you left, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you've left the Lord, if you've left the position where you used to be, if you left the fellowship, if you've left, bless God, that place where you were stirred and on fire for God, working for Him, loving for Him, looking for Him, longing for Him, it's time for you to get back. Time for you to pick it up. Time for you to get going in the right direction. Time for you, bless God, to go back to Father and do what He told the church of Ephesus to do. Remember, repent and then redo. Thank God for the backslider. I'll tell you what, look, for the ways of a transgressor are hard. But what about the believer? And that's what this message is really about. It's content and it's context. I'm telling you, friend, listen, there's some things to do for us who are saved. For us who are saved and profess Christ as our Savior, there are things for us to be, us to do, us to get away from. Oh, look, friend, this passage tells us some marvelous things, does it not? I'm telling you, look, for those of us who profess Christ, and look, it's more than a profession. There needs to be a possession. I'm telling you, it's got to be more than a profession. You say, how do you know that? Listen to what He said in verse 46 of this text passage. He said this. He said, and why call me, or ye call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say. Now look, I'm going to be kind in saying this, but I'm going to be clear all at the same time. Being a Christian is more than wearing the name. Being a Christian is more than saying a prayer. Being a Christian is more than making a profession. Bless God, listen, being truly saved, being truly born again, being truly a follower of Christ means that we've changed. We've become a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We start talking in a different way, start living in a different manner. Our lifestyle, our life choices, bless God, we come out from among the world. We become a separated people. And I'm telling you, it's not enough to say, Lord, Lord. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, 21 and following, and not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? And in Thy name cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He didn't say, I knew you and forgot you. He didn't say, you used to be a part of me and then you cut loose. He said, I never knew you. Listen, Christianity, friend, is more than a profession. It is a possession. I'm telling you, it's a lifestyle change. It's a destiny change. It's a determination change. It's a decisive change that changes mankind. Men and women, boys and girls, from the inside out, and who they are, and what they want, and how they live, and what they say, and what they do. And you say, is that right, preacher? Well, you listen to the Word of God, and you tell me. In Luke chapter 6 again, verses 43 and following, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Listen, sir, ma'am. The Bible teaches you cannot be saved and live like the world. The Bible teaches that you can not be saved and live the same lifestyle that you lived before you trusted Christ or professed to have trusted Christ as your Savior. I'm telling you, friend, having a new birth means that we've been born from above. We get a new nature, the divine nature, Peter tells us. 2 Peter 1:4, I believe it is, if it's not, 1st or 2nd Peter to be in 1st Peter. I'm telling you, friend, we have new longings. We have new life. We have a new spirit. We have a new determination. We have a new destination. We have new desires. I'm telling you, to be born again means to be born from above. Have a new start, a new beginning. Have new longings, new likes, new life. I'm telling you, friend, listen, the Bible says you must be born again. Now look, I'm going to tell you something. My list, my time runs out pretty quickly here on this radio program. My list is not a complete list, but I'll tell you what I believe it is. I believe it's enough to challenge us. I believe it's enough to do what Peter said when he was writing his last epistle 2 times in chapter 1 and in chapter 3. He said, these things have written them, might stir up your pure mind by the way of remembrance. It's enough to get that done and to accomplish that. Look, we're going to judgment, sir, ma'am. You can say anything you want down here. You can profess anything you want. You can join every group, every denomination, every place that you want, but I'll tell you, there's going to be a judgment for me and you and everyone else. Do you know that? I'm telling you, according to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul said, look, he said, I warned the believer. He said, I warned the believer because he said, we're going to the judgment seat of Christ. And I didn't think I was going to read this as I was meditating, preparing. But the Bible says this, for must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And Paul goes on in verse 11 and says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Now look, if you're saved, you'll be at the Bema. You'll give an account of your stewardship, what you've done with the things that of God, with the things that God has given you. But oh, friend, listen, it's going to be a real judgment. If you're saved, you'll be there. But if you're just a professor, if you don't possess Christ, and Christ doesn't possess you, if you've not had a newborn birth experience, you may have been baptized, you may have joined the church, you may have been confirmed and affirmed, and lots of things like that. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, and hence to all mankind, you must be born again. I'll tell you, friend, listen. This is serious work, serious business, serious opportunities. Now, my list is basic. My list is simple. It's foundation, and again, it's applicable for the saved. I mean, for the new saint and the old saint. And first of all, it is read God's Word daily. Oh, friend, look, if you get saved, I'll tell you, any baby that's born is hungry unless there's something majorly wrong. You know that? Babies are born hungry. And so it is in the spiritual world as it is in the physical world. And according to Exodus chapter 16, when the picture of manna is given in the Word, where the picture of manna is given in the Word of God as a type of the Word of God. If you read John 6, you understand what I'm saying. The command from God to Moses to the children of Israel was for them to go out and to gather it daily. Gather it as sufficient is for a man, an individual man. Hey, listen, you ought to get in the Word of God. You ought to have a desire, if you're saved, to get in the Word of God. You ought to have a desire to see what it means like to be Christ-like, what it means to have a relationship with God Almighty. In the book of Matthew 4:4, Jesus looked at the devil and the temptation of the wilderness and said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." I believe that's Old and New Testament. I believe that's all from Genesis to Revelation. Thank God I know we're under the age of grace. I know we're a New Testament church age. I know all of that. But the Bible tells us in Romans 15, how the things were written in the past were written for our admonition and for our good here in the present. Thank God. Listen, it'll be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Psalm 119:105 says, Timothy tells us, Paul did to Timothy in the second letter, that he wrote to that young pastor, that it's profitable. Every word of God, which is inspired by God, and every word of God is inspired of God. According to 2 Timothy 3:16, in a King James Version, the Bible, if you don't have that, hard to tell what your Bible says, but it's profitable. It is profitable. Bless God for the believer, for that man, woman, boy, or girl, that is to follow Christ. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Ah, look, Paul, listen, God told Joshua, look, you don't depart from that word. You don't depart from that book. In Joshua 1:8, and Psalm 1:2 tells us it ought to be the man of meditation of our heart daily. Number two, I gotta go on, don't have much time. How we ought to pray daily. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're to pray without ceasing. We're to go around in an attitude of prayer. But may I tell you, according to Matthew 6:6, there are times when we enter into our closet, close the door behind us, leave the world outside of us, and we get down to business with God. We need more than a "now I lay me down to sleep" when the day is done. We need to ask. We need to seek. Bless God. We need to find. We need to knock. We need to ask, seek, and knock. I'll get it right in a minute. According to Matthew 7, I believe it is, verses 7 and 8. We need to pray fervently. We need to pray affectionately. According to James 5:16-18. We need to pray about everything. Paul told the Philippian believers in chapter 4:6, be careful for nothing, but by prayer let your requests be made known unto the Lord. 1 Peter 5, I believe it is, verse 7, said we're to be casting all our care upon Him because He cares for us. We need to pray. We need to pray regularly. We need to pray fervently. We need to pray daily. We need to pray continually. Oh, we need to pray. And the psalmist said morning, noon, and night. Not only do we need to pray, but we need to attend church. And we ought to be faithful about it. Look, if you're a Christian, if you're a Christian, that means you're Christ-like. As Christians, listen, friend, we're like Christ. We're to be like Him. So, let me tell you, what He did, we ought to do. How He lived, we ought to live. What He did, we ought to do. What His custom was, should be our custom. And according to Luke 4:16, as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, there's no Christian Sabbath. We worship the Lord on the Lord's day. We gather in a building that we many times refer to as the church. It's not the church. It's those that gather in that building. That is the church. But we gather there on a stated day, at a stated time, at a stated place, to worship God in spirit and in truth. You got to have both of those items to have a true worship service. And bless God, we hear from the Word of God through preaching, through teaching. We sing psalms of praise. We pray and seek His face. We worship Him. We magnify Him. We bless Him. We praise Him. We honor Him. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you're just a Sunday morning Christian, there's something wrong in your life. You're missing something. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling yourself together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. I bless bless God, you need to be in the house of God. God expects you to be in the house of God. You ought to have a desire to be. And if you don't, you ought to check up on yourself. If you haven't got it right, you can. And this is the new year. This is the to-do list for the believer, for the follower of Christ. And let me give you some other things quickly. We ought to walk or behave as Christ did. According to the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, we ought to walk even as He walked. Paul said it simply to the church of Ephesus in 4 and 1. Hey, you ought to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. That means you ought to behave right. That means, bless God, you ought to live right. I mean, that means you ought to walk like Christ walked. You ought to walk like Christ, where Christ walked. You ought to be like Christ. You ought to be different. We're to come out from among the world. We're to bear right fruit. We're to bear the right kind of life. We're to wear the right kind of clothes. Speak the right kind of words, to live the right kind of life. I'll tell you, friend, listen, we ought to walk like Jesus walked. You know what else we ought to do? We ought to do what they did in Acts 2 and 42. There are four things there that ought to be done. We ought to look, friend, we ought to follow the ordinances of Christ that He gave the church. And that's believers' baptism and communion. And I'm telling you, friend, if you profess Christ, never been baptized publicly, you ought to do that. Well, look, my time's gone, obviously. I've got more than I've got time. But until the next time, let's decide to do what we ought to do as a believer in Christ.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.
Share.